Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my lovely betwixters. It's me, Kate Lister. I am here with your fair dues warning. You know what is coming. If you're going to stick around and listen to this podcast, then you need to be warned. And here is your warning. This is an adult podcast spoken by adults to other adults about adulty things in an adulty way, covering a range of adult subjects, and you should be an adult too. Whew. Well, I certainly feel safer. I hope you do too. And if you don't, well, tough, because fair dues, we did warn you.
I love your gown.
Thank you so much.
Yes, take your seat, betwixters, and mind your language. We are at a high society dinner in Washington, D.C. in 1952. Don't stare, but on the table just across from us, amongst the champagne flutes and silverware, a beautiful 24-year-old Jacqueline Lee Bouvier is being introduced to a much older gentleman of quite high standing. This handsome, tanned, and it must be said he is considerably older than her, he's 36, is Congressman John Fitzgerald Kennedy. His charm is undeniable, and as he would later tell his brother Bobby, he was smitten. However, Jackie already had a boyfriend who was waiting for her outside in the parking lot. Although she might not have realised it, the universe had just presented young Jackie with a choice. Would she choose the boyfriend in the car, or would she choose ambition, charisma, and political power? Yeah, she chose JFK. And within a year, he was elected to the Senate. Within 2 years, they were married. Within 10 years, she redefined what it meant to be the First Lady. And not long after that, she would lead the country in its grief for her dead husband. The Kennedy dynasty, thought of by many as being the American royal family, have a fascinating and tragic history with many famous members, JFK being one of the most well-known. And he often eclipses the other members of that family, but there were some truly fascinating people there, in particular, the women of the Kennedy family, not to mention the women that JFK got himself involved with. From a great-grandmother with humble Irish roots and a quiet determination who dragged the family out of poverty and set the foundations of a dynasty.
So she was just like, boom, 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 one thing after another. An entrepreneur at a time when that just wasn't a thing for widowed Irish maids.
To the world-famous scandalous affairs.
I can now retire from politics after having had a happy birthday sung to me.
To a shy sister who was left without the ability to walk or talk after a disastrous lobotomy ordered by her father.
They'd only been doing the procedure for a couple of years. Rosemary was probably their, 70th or 80th patient.
60 years on from JFK's death, we are looking at some of the women attached to the Kennedy family.
They were fabulous and they were flawed, and some of them just doomed.
This is The Kennedy Women, Episode 4, How Jackie O Defined an Era.
The latest ordeal
for a family that has endured so many of them over the years.
Mrs. Kennedy comes forward with Caroline in a tableau that calls for no words. Its poignancy calls only for tears.
I know it's such a long and often hopeless fight. They hope it will accomplish something.
Hello and welcome back to Betwixt the Sheets, the history of sex scandal in society with me, Kate Lister. This November, it's 60 years since President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And to mark the anniversary, I am looking into some of the women in his life and in his family. Today, I'm speaking to two special guests about the era-defining First Lady, Jackie Onassis Kennedy. Eleanor Herman, author of Sex with Presidents, who is back once again to discuss, amongst other things, what it was that made Jackie so iconic, including, of course, her impeccable fashion sense. But first up is Lawrence Lima, author of The Kennedy Women, The Saga of an American Family, to talk us through Jackie's childhood, her marriage, and the impact her husband's assassination had on her. Let's go back to 1940s New York to meet a young bookish Jackie who has more time for horses and studying than she does for boys. Hello, and welcome to Betwixt the Sheets. It's only Lawrence Lima. How are you doing?
Just great.
I am here to talk to you about one of the most fascinating women in not just American history, history in general, Jackie Onassis, Mrs. JFK. How did you become interested in particularly in Jackie Onassis, but in the women of JFK's life? What brought you to tell their story?
Well, I wrote a trilogy which began with a 900-page book called The Kennedy Women, which traced the history of the family from the 19th century on. And Jackie was the star of that book.
Wow. She's just very, very captivating. And until I knew I was going to come and talk to you, I admit I didn't know much about her beyond the impeccably turned out suits and the beautifully coiffured hair. And she's just so on point with what she looks like. But what was her background? Did she come from a privileged background?
Yes, she did. Not as privileged as she pretended it was, but she came from a good background, that's for sure. Went to the best private schools and all.
Wow. Where was her family from?
From Massachusetts and New York.
Okay. And it was her father that made the money, right? He was like a Wall Street broker?
Her father was a stockbroker, and he was a playboy. He was an incredible womanizer. And the one woman he loved more than anybody else was his daughter, Jackie. And she just adored him.
Wow.
If a woman loves her father, she's going to love a man.
Mm.
Jackie definitely loved her father.
Was she impacted by his womanizing? Did she know anything about that as a child? Was it all kept away from her?
It was her father. Her father was this bon voyant. She thought he was terrific. Didn't bother her at all.
Who was he having affairs with?
You look at New York telephone book.
Right. Okay. So quite profligate then. Right. Wow. How did that impact Jackie? What was her mother's name?
Well, her parents got divorced.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. Okay. I suppose what I'm interested about this is, do you think that this shaped her relationship with JFK? Because he was known for liking the ladies as well.
No, she'd seen it with her father.
Yeah.
And Jack was so much older, you know, and she was very young when she married him. And that was the course. And Jack didn't marry her because it was some profound love. He wanted to be president of the United States, and he knew he should get married. He needed a wife. It wasn't because he was a womanizer. He was afraid people would think he was gay if he didn't get married.
Really? That was why? I suppose that makes sense. Okay, so take me back to Jackie as a child. She has a privileged upbringing. She's devoted to her father, who is very extra and bon vivant. Was she a bright child? Was she really? She could speak several languages, right?
Yeah, but she was a loner.
Oh, really?
Like so many girls, she loved horses. She preferred to be with the horses. She wasn't interested in boys. She was a debutante. But she was trying to find her place. She was very, very intelligent. But for a woman of that generation, that wasn't considered that important.
Oh, bless her. Oh, so she had all this brains and nowhere to put it, nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Where do you go with it? It wasn't clear. And of course, her mother wanted her just to marry well.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fair. That is a well-established path. Is there a sense of what Jackie wanted? She liked her horses. She loved her dad.
I think when you're early 20s, you don't know what you want. You know?
So true.
But that's when she met him and married him. And he was off on their honeymoon with somebody else.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What a scallywag. Right, we'll get to that. So go on then. How does she meet Jackie boy?
A friend sets up a dinner party.
Okay.
Jack meets her. He wants to see her afterwards, but her boyfriend is sitting out in the car waiting for her, so that doesn't go. So they later go out on a date, quite a few weeks later.
Who was her boyfriend? Imagine being dumped for JFK.
You know, a kind of stockbroker type that would have been a proper husband for Jackie. Not this older, basically middle-aged politician. Handsome, that's for sure.
Very handsome. How old was Jack when they met?
In his late 30s.
Oh, okay. And how old was she?
I think 21, very young.
So they meet, they must have caught each other's eyes. She can't go out of them because she has a boyfriend out in the parking lot. When did things get going between them?
Well, the question is, how much did they get going? He wanted to get married. And she came from the right class. She was Catholic, the right family. It was the perfect match. But it was almost an arranged match in that sense.
Really?
And she wanted to have a nice little wedding with her friends. And Jack's father, Joe Kennedy, wanted to have an enormous wedding where they could invite all the politicians and all the people they wanted to show off to.
So when Jack met Jackie, he was on the prowl for a wife. He was looking at her as wife material.
He knew he had to get married if he wanted to become president of the United States. And he was a very ambitious man. And he knew he was sick. He knew he had these different diseases. If he wanted to be president, he better do it sooner better than later.
What diseases did he have?
He had his Addison's disease. That was the number. He had all kinds of problems. He took when he was president, he would take 20 pills in the morning for breakfast.
I didn't know that. Oh, my God.
Plus amphetamines. He took amphetamines. Yeah.
I read that Winston Churchill drank 2 bottles of champagne with breakfast. Like, maybe just all the world leaders were hammered. Okay, so I can understand why he is in the market for a wife and that someone like Jackie would tick an awful lot of boxes. Had there been anyone in the picture for him beforehand, like a pre-Jackie wife that he'd been eyeing up, or was she like the first that he was like, I want that one?
Well, no, he had women he was in love with. He had relationships. He had deeper relationships with several women earlier than that, but not that he was going to marry.
Do you think he loved Jackie?
I think he was incapable of love.
Wow, that's a big statement. Why do you think that? That's fascinating.
Well, it was just his makeup. I mean, again, I said before, if you're a man and you love your mother, you can love a woman that you will marry. He didn't love his mother. He had a tortured relationship with his mother. And he just used women. He went on with them. He used them and moved on.
But he didn't move on from Jackie, but he was using her.
I know a woman who was a student in Boston. She was 19 years old from a good family. And she attended one of Jack Kennedy's speeches in 1958. She was plucked out of the audience. She was at Radcliffe, and he'd come in his car, and he'd have an affair with her. And he brought her into the White House, and about once a month, she would go in and sleep with him. But after a year, she decided, this is disgusting, and she left.
Oh, my God. There's a lot to unpack there. Wow. You'd never get away with it. Well, actually, maybe you would get away with it. We just don't know it. Did she know that Jack was having as many affairs as he did? Did she just turn a blind eye to it, or did she... Was she aware of the full extent of this? And did she know about Marilyn Monroe?
How could you help that? There were so many of them. I mean, that's what surprised me in my research. I thought the whole thing was exaggerated. It wasn't exaggerated. They were endless. I mean, look, anybody he wanted to sleep with, a beautiful woman, leading movie star, I want to sleep with her.
But she knew, maybe not about Marilyn, but she knew about the affairs.
Half the time in the White House, she wasn't even there. She was gone.
I think I would be as well. So you think that she just... kind of turned a blind eye to it. He's the president. This is what he's going to do. I have my nice house.
Well, there was talk about Jack's father giving her $1 million to stay married to him. That's possible. But, you know, people forget a woman of that generation, what her opportunities were. You didn't invite a divorced woman to your house. You didn't want to socialize with a divorced woman because she might take your husband.
And if you can get $1 million as well, I mean, that's a pretty good sweetener, right? So tell me about their wedding day then. I hope that he managed to keep it together just for the wedding day. Where did they get married? Was it a high society do?
Yeah, it was a big Newport wedding, a big wedding with 1,000 people there. Her father had become a drunk and he couldn't even go to the wedding because he was drunk.
Oh, that's sad. That's really sad. Where was he then? Just drunk somewhere?
He was there, but he was incapable of coming into the wedding.
Oh, that's sad. Where was her mum?
Her mum was there.
Okay. But she was looked on as like a bit of a fashion icon even then, right? Even in the early days.
She, more than any first lady in America, more than anybody else, really, her love of food and French cuisine and French style, she changed the way Americans acted.
Really? Tell me what she changed just by being fabulous.
She got American interested in style on the cutting edge with these French styles, not these kinds of dresses that women wore before. Mm. She was interested in art, and she had a French chef in the White House.
Fancy.
Where the previous president and his wife would have TV dinners. They'd sit watching television with the TV dinners in front of them. So things had changed.
That is a definite upgrade from a TV dinner. I mean, the first lady role is... ever since her, I think, might have been before her, but they are so subject to scrutiny of how they look, how they dress, how they present themselves. Do you think that it was Jackie that really started all of that?
Well, it's very different. I mean, nobody looked at Eleanor Roosevelt, how she was dressed, right?
Right.
Each first lady sets her own style and her own role, but nobody did it better than Jackie.
But it wasn't all happiness. There was an awful lot of sadness in Jackie's life, and you've touched on some of it already. But one of the things I thought was so sad that I hadn't known before was the pregnancy losses and the miscarriages and what was happening there with their children.
Yeah, that was very, very, very hard for her. And then in 63, they lost a baby then, and they were just, he was devastated. He took it surprisingly hard, I thought, but he took it very hard.
How did Jackie respond to that?
She went off to Europe and spent time with Onassis, which didn't make Jack very happy.
Do you think that they were having an affair then, or they just met?
She probably wasn't, but obviously later they were.
Yeah. Just in case anyone is listening that doesn't know who Onassis is, could you just explain a little bit? Who was Mr. Onassis?
Onassis was one of the richest men in America.
Ka-ching.
And when Bobby Kennedy died in 68 and Jackie just wanted to get out of the United States, she married Onassis. And Onassis wanted to have her on his arm. They spent very little time together, but they both got out of what they wanted. He got prestige and she got a lot of money.
Not a bad deal, really. I'd be happy with that deal.
Right.
So take me back to the children that she has with Jack. When do they arrive and how does she take to motherhood, to being a mum?
You know, she was a terrific mother. So often rich people, because I live in the winter in Palm Beach, it's just beyond me. I don't know what it is there, but rich people just ship their kids off to school and have almost nothing to do with them. I mean, what's the point? Why do you have children? She didn't do that. She was totally devoted to her two children. And beyond anything else, was a great mother.
Would you say the same about Jack? Was he a great father?
He was a good father. He loved his children, that's for sure.
So we've got to talk about that fateful day when JFK was assassinated. And Jackie was right there next to him when it happened. It's still so shocking to watch that footage today. Can you talk me through it, of like what was happening that day, how she responded to that?
Well, they were driving through Dallas in an open convertible. If you go there now, there's a museum at the Texas Book Depository where it happened.
Mm.
It's actually kind of a small scene. You can look out that window and you can see if you were Lee Harvey Oswald, you could put your rifle out there and shoot somebody, which is what he did, and leaving blood all over Jackie. And she handled that. How she did is beyond me. When she came back to Washington and she created this incredible funeral. That is one of the great memories in American history. Every step of it, from the riderless horse to the music that was played to nudging John Jr. to salute his father as he went by, all of these were Jackie's touches and our memories. And afterwards, giving an interview in which she talked about it was Camelot. It was Camelot. And Americans wanted to think it was Camelot. Well, it wasn't Camelot. Presidencies are not Camelot, but for a while we thought that. And then it slowly began to dissipate, and we saw a much more realistic view of what it was.
And I think one of the most at least it stayed with me, and it must have done with other people as well. When I saw it, was the image of her. She's still got the blood on her dress when the vice president is sworn in.
Well, she insisted on keeping the bloody dress on. She wanted people to see what had been done to her husband.
My God, that's an incredibly powerful statement.
It changed this country as much as a war. Mm. That, first of all, in terms of what I do, it made people constantly see conspiracies. It was Lee Harvey Oswald who did this, but millions of Americans don't think so. It's the FBI, it's the CIA, it's the mafia. And everything we see in America these days is a conspiracy, all coming from that. America was no longer the same.
Yeah, lost its innocence on that day.
Right.
So how was Jackie in the immediate aftermath to it? I mean, I can't even imagine what that woman was going through and having it played out on the world stage. She must have been traumatized.
Well, she became very close to Jack's younger brother, Bobby. They spent a lot of time together, and people were very suspicious of that and what was going on. I'm not. I think that sharing that grief, it was perfectly understandable why they spent that much time together.
And of course, he was assassinated some years later.
Yes, yes. And that's when she married Onassis.
How did she react to what happened to Bobby? It must have been like it's happening all over again.
Exactly. And that's what she wanted. She said, they're killing Kennedys. I got to get out of here.
So she thought they must have been coming after her children.
Right.
Wow. Did she sort of have a sense of like the amount of tragedy that was happening in this family? Did she fear it? Did she?
Well, that's why she left the country. But she was in Washington after the assassination, trying to make her life there. But it was too overwhelming. The media, the people outside her house. And so she moved to New York and she had a career in publishing. Now, she could have just slapped her name on the door and not done anything. Everybody been perfectly happy. She didn't do that. She was a hands-on professional editor.
So I know you've mentioned him already, Onassis, but where did she meet him first when she was still married to Jack?
She met him when he was in the elite circles before presidents, but she met him and went off on his yacht in 63.
I mean, that'd do it. That's a hell of a move, isn't it? Would you like to come and right. join me on my yacht? That's impressive. So how long after JFK's assassination did she marry Aristotle Onassis?
It was 5 years later, after Bobby Kennedy was murdered.
How was that received by the American public? I don't know much about that. Were they completely happy with it? Or was it like when Charles married Camilla over here and we all went, I don't think so.
The Americans wanted her to stay in her widow's weeds. Right. They wanted her to be the perennial winner. And she wanted to have her life. And she made the right decision.
She absolutely did. And she was active in politics right up until the end, wasn't she? Because she was supporting the Clintons and their campaign in the 90s.
Right.
How did she support them? What was she doing? She just like turn up looking immaculate in a Chanel suit?
She was very careful. She wouldn't go out and give speeches. She was very kind of aware of her image and how she should act.
When was it that she passed away? It was the 90s, wasn't it? And she had cancer and she died in the early 90s. Where is she buried?
She's buried next to her husband at Arlington Cemetery.
Can I ask as my final question? Because I get a sense that you really do admire Jackie. What is it that you admire the most about her? Through all of your historical research, what are the qualities about her that really shine through?
I admire her as a mother. Oh. I think given everything and how I see rich folks bring up their kids, all that she went through with those kids, and she was going to bring them up well, in detail. She didn't push them off on a nanny. She brought up her children.
Lawrence, you have been wonderful to talk to. And if people want to know more about you and the research that you're doing, where can they find you?
Just all over the place. My new book is Hitchcock's Blondes. It just came out. My book, Capote's Women, which came out 2 years ago, is being made into a big series that will be in February and March. It'll be on Hulu in the United States. It's on Disney Plus.
Wow. I will definitely keep a lookout for that. Thank you so much. You have been an absolute treat.
Okay. Great fun to do this.
I'll be back to talk more about Jackie after this short break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Thank you so much to Larry for joining us to talk about this amazing woman's life. And now I would like to welcome our second guest, Eleanor Herman, to find out more about the details of her relationship with JFK. Was she truly happy? And what was it like to be married to a man who enjoyed the company of so many other women? Oh, there were so many.
When you think of the most iconic first lady in American history, it's her.
That's her, right?
Right? I mean, even Melania Trump's Inauguration Day outfit, that baby blue with the pillbox hat, it's a tribute to the style of Jackie Kennedy.
She had such a lasting impact on what it means to be a first lady. But where did Jackie come from? I'm going to guess that she came from quite a privileged background.
Yes, she did come from a very wealthy background. Her father was Jack Bouvier, who was a multimillionaire. They called him Black Jack Bouvier, and he was quite a womanizer. And her parents did end up getting divorced. And, you know, she had an excellent education. Her junior year in college, she studied in Paris, so she was quite fluent in French. And she admired French culture, French fashion, French cuisine, all things French. And this is knowledge that she brought with her to the White House in terms of her clothing, which everyone emulated around the world, and in terms of her redecorating the White House.
She is known for being an absolute fashion icon. Had she always been interested in fashion, or was this something that she cultivated as she went along?
No, she always was interested in fashion. You can see pictures of her from high school and college, and she just always looked beautiful, dressed beautifully.
Immaculately turned out. Big on Chanel, wasn't she? She loved a Chanel.
Yes, also Dior.
Now, they're French brands. Was there any kind of conflict around that, of like that she should be wearing American labels and not being quite such a Francophile?
I don't think so at the time. I think that's a more recent concept, that the first ladies should promote American designers. For instance, when Kate Middleton married Prince William several years ago, she wasn't going to go with a French designer,
yes,
or an American designer, right? That there are certain political and PR considerations when choosing your gowns. But I think in the early 60s, that really wasn't a thing.
Do you think, pivoting here from fashion to affairs, do you think that her father, who, from what I've read, that she adored, she loved him, but he was a womanizer. Do you think that that shaped her relationship with JFK, who was a womanizer, that it played into that for her somehow?
I think that she probably expected the man she married would have some mistresses over the course of the marriage, as her father did. I think she was absolutely unprepared for what she ended up getting with JFK, which was this pathological sex drive.
It must have been so difficult for her.
You know, and I think in that social milieu, these people who are that wealthy don't feel that they need to deny themselves anything. And I do wonder if she had been raised in a family where the father was a faithful husband, perhaps she would not have married JFK.
Mm. Where did they meet? Did it have like a honeymoon period, their relationship, or was it all business?
They met at a party in D.C. Jackie was working for the Washington Times Herald, which was a major newspaper in the early 50s. And she was it's such a cute term, an inquiring camera girl.
Oh.
So she was a very good photographer. So she'd wander the streets of D.C. and she'd ask somebody, well, you know, what do you think about this, that, or the other things that were in the news? It could be local, it could be international, new fashions, new cars. And she would do these cute little interviews with people on the street and then take pictures of them. And she really enjoyed doing that. And of course, because of her family connections and also because of her newspaper job, she was invited to all the best parties. And so she met him at one of them. And I think he was about 35 when he realized he needed to settle down. That at the time, if a man was 35 and unmarried, people thought he might be homosexual, or maybe he had no sex drive whatsoever, and that's not a good thing for politics. Oh, and so he decided that it was time to settle down, and he could have gotten any woman he wanted, and he was dating Hollywood stars like Jean Tierney, beautiful women, but he wanted a woman of brains and class and fashion, and had to be Catholic too. So that was rather limiting. And as soon as he met Jackie, he thought, this is the one. Now, was he in love with her? I don't know how much he could have really loved any woman, but I think he wanted her to be the most gracious, beautiful accessory on his arm to make him look good and to also help him win the presidency.
What did she wear when she got married to him? What was their wedding like?
It was an incredible wedding. It was the wedding of the year, maybe one of the weddings of the century. And it was a very traditional early 50s dress with a large skirt and lace, and she looked very happy. I mean, in retrospect, she probably wished she had worn black.
Oh, this is a sad question, but do you think she loved him?
Yes, I really do.
Oh.
He was a magnetic personality. I mean, people who met him for the first time, women and even to a certain extent men, they were just bowled over by him. Everybody fell in love with JFK. He had this quality where he would look at you and sit very still and ask you questions. And he was so totally focused on you. He made you feel like a god. And she was in love with him. And she was interviewed by Time magazine, maybe it was 57, before she had children. They'd been married a few years. It was being filmed. The question was, Jackie, you're really in love with him, aren't you? And she answered, oh, I don't know. I guess so. And there was this dead silence in the studio. And then she said, oh, wait, I ruined that, didn't I? I guess we should start over. So I think his rampant infidelity really put the kibosh on her feelings for him. And her friend Truman Capote said in later years that by the time he won the presidential election in 1960, their relationship had become an utter farce. And that he thought she fell in love with him again only after the assassination. So the image of her grieving at the funeral, you know, in the black veil and all of that, that was real. I mean, I don't think anyone could put on a show like that. Maybe she was grieving for all of her hopes and dreams and, you know, the marriage that wasn't at all what she wanted. And, you know, there was just so much grief wrapped up in that moment at the funeral.
Do we have any sense of whether or not they had a happy sex life with a, you know, quick draw Kennedy, from what you've told me?
He was really a terrible lover. And even with Jackie, she told her friends that it was so quick and he didn't satisfy her. And she wondered if she even satisfied him. And she asked if maybe she had failed him somehow as a wife, that he didn't seem to really be enjoying himself. And she certainly wasn't.
Oh, my final question about the wonderful Jackie O is, what lasting legacy do you think she's had on the White House?
Well, she certainly had a lasting legacy on its appearance and its burnishing. And this was one of the ways she dealt with the pain of his toxic sex life. So she threw herself into redecorating the White House. There were these old random pieces of furniture. Nobody knew where they'd come from. At the time, when a president left office, he would just take with him the mirrors, the chandeliers, the tables that he liked. So she formed a commission. They would go out and try to locate, you know, George Washington's candlesticks and John Adams' chairs and start the White House Historical Commission. You know, she'd come into the White House, you know, with the sense of French design and the history of valuable pieces of furniture. And she saw this mishmash and set about transforming it. And it has been beautiful up to the present day. And of course, there have been many, you know, redecorations and modifications, but it all pretty much follows her initial redecoration of the White House. And I think she also, in terms of her fashion, as we mentioned, is an icon, not just for subsequent first ladies, but for all of us. It's just classic. You know, a lot of fashions don't age well. I mean, go look at pictures. Well, look at pictures of myself from the 70s and 80s, and that sort of answers that question. But, you know, her fashions really never went out of style. And I also think she's an icon of a person of great dignity and great kindness who put up with a horrific marriage for the sake of the country and the sake of her children. And this was a time of great international fear of the Soviet Union launching missiles. They had built the Berlin Wall during JFK's presidency. There was the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis. And she knew she just couldn't leave divorce the president. It had never been done before and certainly couldn't be done with all of those international crises going on that would tarnish the reputation of the president and the nation. So she was really stuck. And I have a lot of respect for her that she did the very best she could under horrific circumstances in her marriage.
Ellen, thank you so much for swinging by to tell us a bit more about Jackie. You have been wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the latest episode in our mini-series on the Kennedy women. We have one more to go, and that will be taking a look at the so-called Kennedy curse and its lasting legacy on this all-American family. If you like what you heard, please do drop us a review. I promise we do read them all. The senior producer on this podcast is Charlotte Long. The producer is Stuart Beckwith. This podcast contains music by Epidemic Sound.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Betwixt the Sheets. Please follow the show wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us and you'll be doing us a big favor. Don't forget, you can also listen to all these podcasts ad-free and watch hundreds of documentaries when you subscribe at historyhit.com/subscribe. As a special gift, you can get your first 3 months for just £1 a month when you use the code BETWIXT at checkout.